We're turning in God's Word this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. While you're turning, let me bring greetings from the work in Orlando, Florida. It's indeed good every time we come back to Greenville to visit with old friends and indeed see new faces. There's quite a few new faces that I haven't seen since I was here last. I always seem to come here during the holidays, the time when everyone goes from Greenville back home again. I feel quite at home, however, with a very small congregation, quite at ease. In fact, this is quite large. As a matter of fact, if you'd all like to transfer down to Orlando, I'll take applications this afternoon. But the Lord is blessing there in Orlando. As you all know, we recently opened our new building that the Lord provided for us back in the summer. And the contractor did a very good job. We're very well pleased. We're ideally located in the city of Orlando. It has already paid for itself, but it is paying the fact that people are seeing the sign and are visiting the church. We've had visitors in. We've had a couple of families that have come to the work lately. And we thank the Lord that God is slowly but surely raising up his witness in that city. Whenever God calls a man to a place, he has a people whom he will raise up. And the Lord is doing it there in the city. We thank you for your prayers, and we pray that God would indeed extend to you blessing as you support the work there, as you pray for us, and might you know the Lord's hand upon you in the coming year. Do continue to pray for that little work. It's a pioneer work, as all of the works are. And they are, you can imagine, in a pioneer work, there are little fragile things that take place that need the tender care of the Lord. So you be much in prayer for that work in Orlando. Please pray for me. And this coming year would be a year that God would see great things done in the hearts and lives of those he will bring in there. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're just going to read two verses, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let's hear God's word. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the public reading of his word for his name's sake. With the word of God open before us, let's all bow our heads, please, and our hearts at the Lord's throne of grace and ask for his help in his word this morning. Let's all pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come again into thy holy presence this Sabbath morning. We thank thee, O God, for this day. We thank thee, our God, for this time to look into thy word. Lord, it is now that time in the service when we must focus our attention upon the word of God. And our Father, we confess as we do so, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, our God, that thou wilt anoint thy servant with the Holy Ghost, that thou wilt fill him to the uttermost, that he might bring the message of the Lord this morning and not the message of a man. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would fall upon thy people this day as they hear the word of God. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt work in our hearts a divine attentiveness to the things of God, that thou wilt take weariness from our bodies, sleep from our eyes, that thou wilt cause a holy stirring in our hearts as the word of God is delivered. Grant to us, Lord, this morning that knowledge that we stand in the presence of the Almighty, that we are before the things of God as we look into thy holy and precious word. God, we ask thee this day that for Christ's sake, thou wilt close us all in with thyself, Shut out every distraction of the devil. We pray, O Lord, that the minds would be fixed this day. There would be an eagerness in hearing what God the Lord has to say. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. That short passage we read this morning should serve as a good reminder that we ought to read all the Word of God. Some months ago, as a family in family devotions, we commenced reading through Chronicles. And my children, once they opened up the book and saw all these names in the first eight chapters, they said, "Daddy, we're not going to read the first eight chapters, are we? There's nothing but a long list of names. Surely, in this long list of genealogies, there is nothing of interest to read." If you think that, my friend, you will miss out on some very important and very instructive passages in God's Word. In the midst of this long list of names, the Holy Spirit shines His spotlight upon one man. That man's name is Jabez. His spotlight upon Jabez is interesting, because we know very little about Jabez, except that he was more honorable than his brethren, and that he was named Jabez because of the grief he caused his mother in childbirth. There must have been some unusual sorrow in the birth of this young child, Jabez, because 8 days later, the mother still remembers — that's when the Jew would name the child — she still remembers the sorrow that was caused her as she gave birth to this son. Usually, sorrow passes for joy because the child is born, but not so in this case. Whatever reason for his name, Jabez would perpetuate the memory of his birth in sorrow for as long as he lived. But we read that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His birth of sorrow seemed to end in a death of joy and honor, for so the Spirit of God makes this man and marks him. His life teaches us that sorrow is often the harbinger of joy. That yes, sorrow may last for a night, but joy will come in the morning. It seems that the son that caused her the most trouble in childbirth brought her the most joy throughout his life, because he was the one that was more honorable than his brethren. In exactly what way he was more honorable, the scriptures do not clearly tell us. But I think there is a hint that Jabez was honored for his learning in the Word of God and his piety. Flip the page to 1 Chronicles chapter 2 just for a minute and look at verse 55. "And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez." Many commentators feel that this city was named after the man here, Jabez. The city of the scribes. They seem to feel that Jabez was indeed a man mighty in the Word of God. But he also said not only because of his learning of God's Word, but because of his piety. Not only was Jabez a man of God's Word, but he was a man of prayer. We find that very evidently set forth for us in the 10th verse. We find there Jabez praying. Praying. I think herein lies his honor. And indeed this morning, if you would seek honor, it lies in these two areas. Being one who is learned in the Word of God, and one who is a real praying Christian. That is the best honor that can ever be bestowed upon a human being. Learned in God's Word, and a man or woman of prayer. You will notice a very interesting statement. After revealing the substance of Jabez's prayer, The inspired writer of Chronicles states, "And God granted him that which he requested." That struck me. We ought to be concerned with what Jabez prayed for, because whatever it was, it pleased God. Whatever it was, God granted that request. It was found in accordance with God's will, this prayer of Jabez. If God answered Jabez's prayer, will he not answer the prayer of every Christian here that follows that line that Jabez took through his prayer? I think there perhaps is no better way to begin as we look back on the year past and the year that lies ahead than to look at this prayer of Jabez. We want to see exactly what Jabez prayed for and just what it was that God granted. I want you to notice his first request in his prayer. Jabez prayed for God's best blessing. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." Here is a cry from the heart of a man who knows that nothing but God's blessing will mean anything in life. Here is the heart of the prayer that seems to lie in that word, "indeed." Don't miss it. He doesn't say, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me," but, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." It reveals something very deep about this prayer of Jabez. He wanted more than just temporal blessings. He wanted more than just the nominal blessings of life. He prayed to his God that thou wouldst bless me indeed, really and truly bless me. Jabez wanted God's blessing upon his life, God's best blessing, a blessing that was prompted by the grace of God, and a blessing that would be appointed by the choice of God. That is God's best blessing. He did not ask for wealth that day. He did not ask for fame. But he simply wanted his God to really and truly bless him with spiritual blessings. And God granted him his request. You know, there are no better blessings to long for and to pray for than spiritual blessings. Nothing in your life ought you to pray for more than spiritual blessings. These are blessings indeed. I say spiritual blessings because we can contrast them to temporal blessings. It's all very well and good to pray for our health. It'd be foolish not to pray that the Lord would give you good health. I have seen in my years back, going and working through hospitals, many people who have not their health. I've tended to many a sick patient who couldn't lift their head or their hand. That's sickness indeed. I've seen them pine away with cancer. I've seen them die on the bed. We ought to pray for our physical health. But I want you to know this morning, dear Christian, above all else, you ought to be praying for your spiritual health. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." You ought to be praying that God would take away that leprosy that is part of your nature. That God would heal the weakness in your legs. For so often we find ourselves walking by sight, don't we? And not walking by faith. That God would heal our hearts. We often need heart surgery done. Because our hearts, we find, are often cold and dead. We care not for the things of God as we ought. That devotion in the heart begins to die out. We need that healing of our eyes, the healing of our ears, that we might see right, that we might hear right, that we might think right. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." There is another temporal blessing which is very precious. That is the blessing of home. Surely it said, it's a trite expression, but there is no place like home. No place. I know there's always exceptions. I know there are people that are raised in homes which is nothing more than a hell on earth. But by and large, there is no place like home. There's no place like that to go to. Some say that home is the place you go when you have nowhere else to go. There you'll find a father and a mother and family that will love you and take you in. There's no blessing temporally like the blessing of home. I remember some years ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, there was a plane that was crashing and they found the black box. The last words of the pilot was, "Goodbye, Mom, I love you." His last thoughts were of home, of his mother. While these blessings of home are to be highly honored, let us not be content to comfort our souls with ties that one day will be broken, and we all know they'll be broken. One day the wife will die, the husband will die, the child will die, and those ties will be broken. Let us get beyond that, and let us all pray as the new year comes in throughout the year that God would bless us indeed. We thank God for our earthly father, but oh, to know this year the love of our heavenly Father. Oh, to know his wisdom day by day. We thank God for our mothers, but oh, that we would know that tender hand of God upon us, that we would know the tender loving care of the Lord of glory. Spiritual blessings, you see. We thank God for the marriage bond. But to know, oh, to know this year, as we've never known before, what it means to be married to Christ. What it means to have him as our bridegroom. What it means to have that union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We would bless God for homes he has given us. But to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that should be our chief desire. Human blessings are good, but they are only temporary. And they are never meant to detract us from spiritual blessings. And I think we're often guilty that they do detract us from desiring the spiritual blessings. There is no greater blessing outside of salvation that could be given to a Christian than that of spirituality. Spirituality. There is a crying need in our churches for Christians who are spiritual, who desire the best blessings of God, who find that there is no satisfaction in the things of this life, in this world, who grow weary with status quo Christianity, who want more than just to come to church week by week, without ever knowing the power of God in the heart and the life, without ever knowing their own prayer lives revived, without ever knowing what the Word of God says and what it teaches and what it can impart to the soul. Our churches cry out for that. And I want you to know, dear friends, until God raises up Christians who will start praying that God would bless them indeed, that God would bless them with spiritual blessings, the church is only going to decline. You begin to find the people of God begin to be stirred up for the things of God. They began to have a hungering and a craving for spiritual truths and for spiritual things and for Christ. Then you'll find the Lord's begun to do a work already. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. But he prayed for something else. Oh, bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. The word there, coast, means borders or boundaries of land. It is believed that Jabez lived either during the later years of Joshua or shortly after Joshua's death. Joshua had yet very much land to be possessed. Amazing. For all that time they had been there under the leadership of Joshua, for the great feats that they had seen God perform on their behalf, yet there was much land that was yet to be possessed. After all those years, there was ground to be taken. All around there were the enemies of God, enemies to truth and righteousness. All around them lay new ground, land that was to be taken for their enjoyment. for their prosperity. All around the children of Israel, there were new victories to be won. Yet the Christians of Israel were slow to extend their borders. It seems that they were reluctant to go in and take the land that God had possessed. There was still much land that ought to be taken. There were still many enemies that had to be conquered. It seems that Jabez was one who was more honorable than his brethren because he wanted God to extend his borders. That thou wouldst extend my borders. He wanted God to enlarge his coasts. I like Jabez. Jabez was not content to live like the rest of Israel. Jabez did not want to be surrounded by the enemies of God. He wanted all the land that God was going to give him. Now I mentioned, I believe earlier on, Joshua here in this book is a picture of the blessing and the life of victory for the believer and how it's to be obtained. Canaan is the land of blessing. The victory is not heaven, I don't believe. But the land is to be taken. It's a land of war and fighting. Ground to be conquered. And if you study the book of Joshua, you'll find many wonderful truths. How you will gain the victory in the Christian life. How you can go in and take the land that is yours, that God has promised. But all too easily, we can, like the children of Israel, become content with where we are in our Christian life. What often happens to the Christian? He is like Israel, Egypt, delivered from bondage. He's saved. And oh, how the heart just beats with joy that he's saved. It seems like for several weeks, perhaps for months, he goes on and lives on a plateau because God has reached down and saved him from his sin. But then there comes a time in his life when it becomes a bit more difficult. The path becomes a little rough and it requires a little more faith in his life. He begins to complain, begins to murmur, just like the Israelites. But then there comes a time as well as he progresses in his Christian life where he sees Christ. He sees Joshua, his great captain. He sees Christ in a way he's never seen him before. And it's like a love affair all over again. I think there are those here that know of what I'm talking. You trudged on many a year, murmuring, complaining, not growing, no desire. And then you heard someone preach Christ like you'd never heard in your life. And my, how the whole heart was stirred. This is what I've been longing for. This is what I've been wanting to hear. And now you've gone on perhaps for some years. But you find yourself slack in the things of God. You find there's much land you've yet to take. You find indeed that you've sat back what we might call in your spiritual recliner. Well, I'm mature now. I've come under the preaching of Christ. I've grown so much in the Lord. I can take it easy. I can now enjoy this rest. And what happens? Your life begins to decline. You would be very wise this year to make it a continual cry as you seek the Lord's face. Enlarge my coasts. Enlarge my spiritual borders. Let me not be content with status quo Christianity. Give me a desire to grow in the things of Christ. Give me a desire to grow in prayer. To get more than beyond a few words before you crawl into bed. And to get beyond a simple little daily devotional reading. But to seek the deep things of God. To have a hunger for those things. Oh, Jabez was a man who wasn't content to live like the rest of Israel. And would to God that he would fill our churches with Christians who are not content to live like the rest of fundamental Christianity. Who want more. They want all the land God will give them. We think of those enemies. Who are those enemies? Pictured in the Philistines and the Amorites and the Hittites and everyone else, or the Ites. Who are they? Satan? The world? The old flesh? tell me, are not the enemies still there? Do you not have sins in your life that you've yet to get victory over? Huh? I do. Is there not ground to be taken yet in your life, spiritual ground? Has God not promised that ground to you? Has not, perhaps God has sometime in bygone days, given you a promise, and yet that promise is yet to be fulfilled? Well, there's ground to be taken. There is victories to be won. There's enemies to fight. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh, don't sit back in your recliners and just let another year pass of playing at church and playing at Christian. God save us from nominal Christianity. We can blast away at the Romanist all we want. We can blast away at cold fundamentalist all we want. But until we're right, until we are in the place where we desire heaven's best blessings, where we want our coast, our spiritual borders enlarged, we're no different. No different. I like Jabez. A man to be admired. A man to be imitated in his praying. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let me ask you all this morning who profess the name of Christ. If you have a desire in your heart this day, as you hear the word of God preached, do you have this compelling desire to want to go to higher ground? Or have you become content with where you are spiritually? Have you become content to just be a nominal Christian? Take this man's prayer as your own. Enlarge my coasts. You know, there are places of nearness to Christ that you've never enjoyed. That thrills my heart to think that. But there's no end to knowing Christ. I can draw nearer and nearer and nearer to the Lord. I can know more of His love for me. I can experience more of the Spirit's power in my own life. Places of nearness you've yet to fathom. There are places of holiness that we've never set foot in. There is new territory in God's Word that we've never taken. Now God has promised this to you if you're a Christian here this morning. Ought you not to take up God and His promise and say, Lord, You've promised, now enlarge my coasts, enlarge my borders. But there was a third request in this prayer. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that Thine hand might be with me. Thy hand might be with me. It was interesting to hear. I was asking the Lord for a token for good this morning before the message, and our brother and sister prayed about the hollow of God's hand. Jabez here prays that God's hand would be with him. It's very important to see the link between this request and the one just previous. Two things it reveals about this man, Jabez. Remember, he's praying that God would bless him indeed, that God would enlarge his coasts, and now he prays that God's hand would be with him. Two things it reveals about Jabez and his wisdom. Firstly, Jabez was not just going to pray about going forward with God. He was going to do something about it. Because he said he wanted God's hand to go with him. That meant that Jabez was going to go out and conquer. He wanted God's hand to go with him as he went. He was not just content with praying that God would bless him indeed and praying that God would enlarge his coasts. He was going to do something about it. The wisdom of this man, Jabez. It's often very easy to pray for various blessings and advancements in your life. But it's not so easy to take up the sword and go fight and win the victory. That separates what we might call the proverbial men from the boys. You can stay behind the lines all you want to and pray away, but you must take the sword. If you want those coasts to be enlarged spiritually, you must take up the sword and go fight. If you want God's best blessing, then you must become involved. God's hand would go with you. I think of Moses in Exodus, I believe, chapter 14. He was standing at the edge of the Red Sea with some 2 million people. Large crowd. Before him lies the Red Sea. Behind him, as you well know, comes Pharaoh and his army, hot on their trail. That cloud of dust is getting closer and closer. And where do you find Moses? He's praying away to God. And well, he should have been. Because my friends, they had nowhere to go. They were hemmed in. What did God say to Moses? Why criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Right, Moses, enough praying. Now it's time to get up and go forward. It wasn't enough. They could have fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But they would have never gotten to Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. They had to go in and possess the land. And we can have the desires, and we can make the prayers to God, and we should. But we must go in and take the land. I'm a Calvinist, unashamedly. But I'm not that kind of Calvinist that sits back and props his feet up on his chair and says, well, if it's decreed by God, it's going to be done. God has decreed the ends. Thank God he's done that. But God has decreed the means to the end. God has told us to go in and possess the land. God has again and again in his word given us charges as Christians. Yes, there is a duty that we must perform. I'm not afraid of the word duty. The fear is we sit back and we blast away at all these things, but we forget there is a duty we have as Christians. We must perform. We must go in and take the land. I said there were two things that this request taught me about Jabez. Not only was he going to labor that his coast would be increased, but he knew he needed God's hand if he was going to be successful. And therefore he prays, Lord, I want your hand to go with me. I'm going to go. But I need your hand to be with me as I go. You can make New Year's time coming up. You have resolutions? Things you're going to see different this year? You can make them all you want to, my friends. But if God's hand is not with you, you'll end up right back where you were. There'll be no advancement. Jabez knew that. He knew he could take up the sword and do it. But he could not do it without God. Without the Lord's hands being with him. He had a very healthy understanding that he could do nothing apart from God's hand being with him. Spurgeon prayed. He said, before I walk out and stand behind the pulpit, I pray as if everything depended upon God. But when he said, I stand up to preach, I preach as if everything depended on me. We would do well, as we seek to extend our borders, to follow those footsteps. There is probably no better part of the figure, the anatomy of God to use, the figurative anatomy, than his hand. We are speaking, remember, of spiritual advancement, engaging in battle and taking the land that is ours that God has promised. We often grow weak and weary in battle, and we just want to quit. You had times this past year, haven't you? You just wanted to quit. You didn't want to go on anymore. You were tired and weary of the fight and the struggle and the troubles and the problems and the worries. You just got fed up with it all. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thank God, he says, I will. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Tell me, dear friends, who is at the right hand of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is his right hand of righteousness. You'll find yourselves, I promise you, in this year coming up, you'll want to quit. You'll want to throw in the towel. But God says, I'll uphold you. Christ at my right hand will uphold you. Furthermore, as with Israel and Canaan, the enemy was all about them. One king after another came against them. They needed God's protection, and so do we. You know not what lies in store for you. You know not the temptations you'll be brought into. You know not the attack of the enemy that he has planned for you in the coming year, in the coming months. Christ said that we were his sheep, however, and that we were in his hand. No greater place to be of safety than in the hand of Christ. You can rest secure as you go in advancement. Don't let the fear of the enemy keep you back. Don't let the fear of defeat keep you back. You are secure in the hand of the Lord. As we seek to advance in the Christian life, we will find ourselves many times in a dilemma, not knowing what to do or which way to turn. We found ourselves like that back in April when we got a 30-day notice to be out of the building, and we had no idea where to go or what way to turn, where to find a place to meet. But the psalmist said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. But there is something else we need. It's not so pleasant. And that's the chastening hand of God. There comes times, and no doubt there will be this year in your life, when you will need the chastening hand of God. That hand will be with you. And thank the Lord it will be with you. Because God chastens whom he loves. If there is no chastening, Paul said, it's a bastard child. It's not God's child at all. But you can be sure, when you step out of line, it will come swift and hard. God will chasten. Thank the Lord that Jabez prayed that God's hand would be with him. But he prayed for one more thing. With this I close. He prayed that God would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. Jabez prayed, as he closed that prayer, short prayer, he prayed that God would keep him from evil. Here is a prayer for holiness and for happiness. Because the Christian who is living a holy life is a happy Christian. And a happy Christian is a holy Christian. But I can tell you this morning, if you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you're a child of God and you're out of whack, you're not happy. You're miserable through and through. You can't get along with your mom and your dad. You can't get along with your spouse. Everything is a mess. You want to know why? Because you're not taking time to be holy. Jabez knew that the heart of all grief was sin. At the heart of all of his sorrow, there was going to be sin at the very root of it all. And he prayed that God would keep him from evil. Would to God this year that we prayed continually throughout the year. Yes, that God would bless us indeed. That he would enlarge our coast. That his hands would go with us. Oh, but that God would keep us from evil. There is no happiness in sin. You want to be happy, then you be holy. And you'll find a joy unspeakable and full of glory in your own heart. How wise and honorable this man Jabez was. This was the last of his requests. It's interesting to note that when Christ gave his model prayer to his disciples, the last request in the Lord's Prayer was what? The last request, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. The evil of sin, the evil of Satan, the evil of trouble, the evil of the world. Not running to it, but delivering us from it. Do we not see in our lives that the heart of all of our trouble is sin? The heart of trouble in the marriage is sin. The heart of trouble in the home is sin. The heart of trouble at the workplace is sin. And the one thing we would desire above all things is that we would be delivered from evil. Then why, pray tell, do we have things in our hearts, in our homes, in our lives? It's almost as if we open our arms wide open to evil. We read books and magazines we have no business reading. Things are watched on the television that a child of God has no business watching. You see, we have an open avenue. It's like our arms are open to sin. And it's foolish for us to pray that God would deliver us from evil and at the same time open this other door to let it come in. We all need to really get serious, dead and earnest, about holy living. That was his last request. He prayed to God that he would be kept from evil, that it may not grieve me. How this man's prayer was so short, yet it was so full. It is a prayer to begin life with. It is a prayer to live life with. It is a prayer to die with. It is a prayer to begin 1991 with. Is it your prayer? Yours? Enough talk about Jabez. But every one of you who profess Christ, will it be your prayer this year? Will you take this prayer dead and earnest upon your soul and cry to God as Jabez cried to God? You'll find yourself that you'll be more honorable than your brethren. God will bestow an honor upon you. Don't forget the last words. And God granted that which he requested. This is praying in the will of God. You can be sure, my Christian friend, if you pray this prayer, God will answer it. Lay hold of God. Take this prayer to heart and make it your own. Let's all pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we continue on before thy holy presence. And our Father, we pray that the word of truth would fall upon ground that's been plowed up by the Holy Spirit. O God, we pray that thou wilt deliver the seed of truth from the fowls of the air. We pray, O God, that thou wilt not let the devil come and snatch the seed away this day. But God, we pray that thou wilt plant it deep in our bosoms. And Lord, water thy word, we pray, in our hearts, and cause the roots to go down deep. And oh God, we pray that it would bring forth fruit that would glorify Christ. God, we pray that thou wilt do us good, that thou wilt bless us indeed, that thou wilt enlarge our spiritual coasts. Lord, cause us to be fed up with the way things are, to long for deeper visions of Christ, for a closer walk with the Lord. We pray, God, in all of our endeavors, that thou hand would be with us, Our God, we pray above all that Thou wilt deliver us from evil, that we might be a holy people and a happy people who glorify the Lord and enjoy Him. We ask in Christ's name. Amen and amen.